2 Timothy chapter number 1. I want to read verse 7 and verse number 8 and verse number 9 and preach a little while out of verse number 8. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. How many of you all are aware that many of the things that are going on in the world and being promoted in the world, it appears that people have lost their mind. I mean, they have absolutely lost their mind. Amen. The Word of God said in verse number 8, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Let me read the verse. I'm wanting to preach so bad I can't stand it. In verse number 9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Be seated and pray with me, please. Father, thank you today for the privilege to be in the church house here at Babel Way. God, we're not the only church in Kingsport. There are many other churches, Lord, that are proclaiming these same truths from the Word of God. God, I pray today that, Lord, you would anoint us with fresh oil. God, that you would anoint not only the preaching of thy Word, but God, would you anoint the hearing of thy Word. God, you said there was a famine in the land for the hearing of the Word of God. God, I pray today, Lord, that you would speak to us, speak through us, and encourage us and help us in these days. And God, we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you could imagine, just by way of introduction here, the Apostle Paul said, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. That's kind of what the title of the message is going to be today, talking about the testimony of our Lord. And he said, nor of me his prisoner. Brother Steve made mention in the Sunday school class this morning about the disinformation council that's been set up or being set up. And you might as well get one of the biggest liars in the country to head it up if you're going to do it. Say amen. But anyway, suppose that they decide one day that this book is disinformation. And suppose they come and get your preacher and they put him in jail. I promise you this. I'm not changing my message for this government, for nobody else in this world. God called me to preach the gospel, the whole counsel of God. I don't believe you tiptoe through the Bible and say, I'll take this and I don't want this and I'll take this and I don't want this. The Bible is not a salad bar. The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is forever settled in heaven. The Bible will never change. I am the Lord, the book of Malachi said, and I change not. You say, what's that got to do with the Bible? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and the Word was made flesh. Dwell among us, we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I tell you something right now, the truth will never change. My daddy had a saying, I don't know where he got it, but he'd say, son, the truth will stand when the world's on fire. I don't know where the saying come from, but I know that's the truth. Because the truth will stand forever. It'll stand forever. But if your pastor got locked up, would you be ashamed of him? That's what Paul is saying to Timothy. He's saying, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen, there are a lot of people that don't mind to be identified with somebody as long as they're on top. But let somebody pull the rug out from under them. They don't want to be identified with them anymore. Paul said, don't be like that. He's saying the testimony of our Lord is something we don't need to be ashamed of. And we don't need to be ashamed of each other if we're suffering for righteousness' sake, for the persecution for righteousness' sake. I got some things on my heart today, and I pray that God will make it a blessing to you. It hasn't been too long ago, several months ago, and I think there's a reason that God wells things up in my heart. But several months ago, I was told about a family that a certain sin had reared its head in that family, and that somebody was very uncomfortable because I was preaching against that certain sin. Let me say this. Number one, I didn't know it. Number two, God did. And number three, the Word of God ought to make us uncomfortable if we're not lining up with the Word of God. I didn't say the Word of God ought to make you uncomfortable. Notice what I said. It ought to make us, myself included, uncomfortable if we're not lining up with the Word of God. Beloved, that's the Spirit of God's job. Honey, when I got saved, He moved into my heart and into my life. He's never leaving. You know where He's going to guide me? Into all truth. You know what happens when you sidestep the truth? He's going to guide you back to the truth. That's not always going to be comfortable. But I tell you, that's what we need as God's people. Jesus said in Mark chapter number 8 and verse number 38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me, now notice this, and my words. In this adulteress, I don't think it's any accident the way God lined it up. He said, whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Not long ago, there was a certain preacher interviewed. And somebody asked him, said, how come you never preach on sin? And he responded like this, that's just not my calling. And he said this, I stay in my lane. I'm going to tell you something right now. You listen to me and you hear me well. A man that's not willing to preach against sin is not willing to preach the Word of God. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. This old book said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. This old book says if we say we're without sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. May God help us in these days, beloved, to desire the testimony of our Lord. You say, Pastor, what is the testimony of our Lord? Well, as you and I have it today, it would start in the book of Genesis, chapter 1 and verse number 1, and it would end in the book of the Revelation, chapter number 22. You say, what do you mean as you and I have it today? That is the testimony of our Lord today. Now, we also know that John said many other things did Jesus, to which I suppose if they were all written, the whole world couldn't contain the books that would be written. But these are written that you might believe. Beloved, God has given us a Bible. We've got people today that are ashamed if the pastor just says something about the King James Bible. Well, that's not going to keep me from saying something about the King James Bible. The King James Bible is God's Word preserved in the English language for the generation that we live in. I'm not changing Bibles. You start at my Bible, Brother Preston, with a little pen knife and say, Pastor, I'm going to cut that verse out. Something's going to get cut, but it ain't going to be my Bible. Amen! or I'm going to change this because I tell you, I've just decided there's no he's and she's anymore. So I've just decided I'm going to write me one without gender. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen, male and female created he them. And we've got people that will get mad at a preacher for just saying that. Honey, if you think that's hard, hang on. It's going to get worse before this message is over. I can tell you that right now. Beloved, God wants you and I to sit on a pew, to bow on our knees, to share this gospel message with others, and not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, if God said it, that ought to settle it right there. One young preacher said, God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. An old preacher said to him, son, I'm glad you believe it, but he said, whether you believe it or not, it's still settled. God said it, and that settles it. Years ago, I heard somebody say something that I think I'm guilty of in a way. He said, we're not preaching enough law. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. If you will read the Word of God, the law is our schoolmaster. The law points us to Christ. No one's ever going to get forgiven until they get guilty. Brother Hazel told me the other night, Brother Steve, he said the conviction that was on Olivia's face. He said, I'm talking about old-time conviction. She saw herself guilty before a holy God. And she knew her mommy couldn't help her. And she knew her daddy couldn't help her. She knew her papa couldn't help her. She knew her pastor couldn't help her. She knew the youth director and the youth choir leader couldn't help her. She knew she needed Jesus. I believe in preaching the grace of God because it's in the Bible. I believe in preaching the mercy of God. It's in the Bible. I believe in preaching the love of God. It's in the Bible. But I'm going to tell you, beloved, I believe in preaching the wrath of God because it's in the Bible. This Bible said God is angry with the wicked every day. This Bible said, listen, marriage is honorable and all, and the bed is undefiled. I'm saying this with tears in my eyes and a broken heart. He said, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Why would you be brokenhearted? Because I do not want to see people under the judgment of God. Thank God for young families and young couples that are doing it right. Doing it God's way. How do you know it's right? Because it lines up with the book. How do you know it's wrong? Because it's contrary to the book. I'm telling you, beloved, we're living in a generation that sneezes at sin. It don't matter to them. It probably surprised us, even in our Baptist churches, how many people is justifying a little drink here and a little drink there. When the Word of God said, listen, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. When the Word of God said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me. Paul said to the young preacher, there was a time when I was a young preacher. But I tell you, I thank God he's still speaking to us wherever we are in the journey. He said, please, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, neither of me, his prisoner. Oh, beloved friend, I know this. God is on the throne. God is on the throne. You say, Pastor, why should we not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord? Let me give you a couple of things quickly. Number one, it points us to the Savior. Turn with me, if you will, in the book of Revelation, please. Chapter number one. Would you turn to Revelation chapter 1 with me for just a moment? I was telling my wife about this morning, and I won't be dogmatic about it, but I do believe God spoke to my heart and taught me something right here in this verse of Scripture. The Word of God said, what do you mean it points us to the Savior? Well, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He said, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You've heard me say this before. There's three things mentioned there. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Two-thirds of it's negative. You know what we want in this generation? Lift me up. Build me up. Exhort me. Exhort me. Exhort me. I'll tell you what that kind of preaching is without reprove and rebuke. It's ear tickling. We don't need our ears tickled. We need our hearts broken. We need our hearts broken over our own sin. We need our hearts broken over the sins of others. We need our hearts broken over our nation. We need our hearts broken over what's going on in the Ukraine. We need our hearts broken. We need our hearts broken. When Jeremiah studied the situation in his nation, he wept. He was the weeping prophet. We need our hearts broken. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, the Bible said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. In 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Let me tell you something right now. The ear tickling ain't never helped nobody. I'm glad, Brother Steve, when I came into that church house lost that night, that I had a leather-lunged pastor that stood up and preached, thus saith the Word of God. I didn't need my ears tickled. I needed my heart broken over my sin. And oh, did God do a good job. Got to hanging over hell that night. My pride wasn't worth it. I said, I'm going to go down there and trust Jesus. I didn't know what to expect. The devil had told me all kinds of lies. See, it's all he is, a liar and the father of a lie. But I tell you, when I got down there, my burden got relieved. My sins were gone. Hannah sings a song about under the blood. Shoo! Never to be remembered against me again. What a blessing that is. Look at Revelation chapter 1 quickly with me. The Word of God said in Revelation chapter number 1, in verse number, I'll start reading in verse number, well, I just keep backing up verse number. Let's look at verse number 5. Start right there. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead. By the way, Jesus didn't skip anything when he was preaching, neither did John the Baptist. That's what got one of them's head cut off and got the other one hung on a cross. Say amen. Old John the Baptist, he just reared back, pointed that bony finger, said, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. It cost him, didn't it? Sometimes the truth will cost us, but sometimes people are ashamed of the truth. They're ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. You know what I thank God? Listen, I want God to fill our church up. But more than fill it up with people, I want Him to fill it up with His presence. Listen, I want God to fill our church up. But you just mark this down. As long as God lets me be your pastor, the message will never be trimmed trying to fill up a church. Because what's more important than our church being filled is you and I being filled with His presence. Watch this now. The Word of God said, the first begotten of the dead, the Prince of Kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood. and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Boy, there's some more glory in the church, ain't it? Look at verse 7. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him. And they also that pierced Him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. Watch this now. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Now let me get to verse 9. I, John, boy, don't you love John? Don't you love somebody that when they speak of themselves, they say that other disciple? Don't you love somebody when they speak of themselves will say something like this, the disciple whom Jesus loved? I'm going to tell you something. There's a world of difference between saying the disciple that loved Jesus and the disciple whom Jesus loved. John did love Jesus, but he didn't want it to be about John. He wanted it to be about Jesus. Watch this now. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom of patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos. Now here's what I want to tell you. I'm not going to be dogmatic about it. But the Word of God said right here, for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Y'all see that? As many years as I've been reading that, I only thought one thing. John's out there because he took a stand for the truth. John is out there because of the Word of God that he preached and because of the testimony that he had for the Lord Jesus. That may be exactly right. But I tell you, as I was reading this last night, God spoke to my heart. Listen, I believe there's something else going on in this verse, and possibly both of them are right. We know that John's out there because he wouldn't back up on the truth. Amen. But watch this. He's out there for the Word of God. You say, what do you mean he's out there for the Word of God on the Isle of Patmos? God is going to give John the Word of God while he's on the Isle of Patmos. Do you realize we don't have the book of Revelation if John is not exiled on the Isle of Patmos? And for, watch it, the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. John said, I'm out here. They've put me out here, but somebody's fixing to testify. Amen. I'm telling you, there's no accident that the words turn red. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I heard behind me as a great voice as of a trumpet. What'd he say? I'm the Alpha and Omega, first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book. Send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, and Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, and Thyatira, unto Sardis, and Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. You drive on down. He said, fear not. I'm here, the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. John's on the Isle of Patmos. He's out there to receive something that he might give it back to you and I. He's receiving the Word of God, Brother David, and the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. And John's not ashamed of it, Brother Steve. He said, Lord, you said write her down. I'll just write her down. And down through the ages, beloved, listen to me, I'm not being critical, but I don't understand people that say you should never read the book of the Revelation when God promised a blessing on those that would read the book of the Revelation. Honey, I'm going to tell you something. John loved Jesus. Jesus loved John. And the testimony of our Lord, you and I as God's people, should never be ashamed of. If it hits us, we ought to say thank God. It's still the truth. If it hits our family, if it hits our friends, I can't tell you, I've made mention of this before, how many times that I've had to roll out of my chair as I studied the Bible and get my own heart right before I could come to this pulpit and deliver what God had put in my heart. Beloved, listen, it points us to the Savior. The testimony of our Lord points us to the Savior. I don't know what's going on with me. You pray for me. I had three little things to talk about Wednesday night, and I got one of them. I got three little things to talk about this morning, and we just got done with one of them. But I know this. He's coming. I know this. I want you to go with me. I know He wants you to go with me. He wants us as His people. You read John 17 where He prayed to come and be with Him where He is. I don't know how the Lord's going to lead. Let me just mention this. Y'all okay for just a few more minutes? Not ashamed of the Scripture. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. It points us to the Savior. Number two, I've already touched on this. I just didn't give you the verses. It points out sin. The Word of God will point out sin. Years ago, I was chasing a boy that had done something that I didn't think he ought to do, and I tripped and I fell. We had sidewalks where we lived at that time. We lived within a mile of the high school in Edgewood, had paved roads. But along the edge, there was still gravels, I guess where they treated for snow. It was up above Baltimore, so we had some snowy winters. And those gravels were embedded in my knee. And my dad, he took some tweezers. And I'm telling you, when you raise six children in a poor family, you don't run to the doctor every time somebody gets a scratch, amen? But anyway, Dad said to my mom, said, bring me some of that peroxide, honey. Mom come back out and said, we ain't got no peroxide. Said, all we've got is this rubbing alcohol. Daddy pulled him. Hey, you probably done it, ain't you? Randall, the way you're grinning, amen. Amen. Daddy picked them gravels out and he said, son, hold still. He knew more about what was fixing to happen than I did. I tell you what, he poured that in my knee, and all of a sudden I felt like I could outrun a motorcycle. But I've never seen a wound heal up that quick. Do you know that sometimes we come to church and God's wanting to pour an antiseptic? Some of you carrying sores you've been picking at for years. It'd get better if you'd let God pour some antiseptic in it. If you'd do what God said, it'd get better. If we'd get on our knees, instead of being ashamed of how our youngins is acting, and beg God to work in their hearts, maybe God pour some antiseptic in it, they'd get better. Somebody help me. Why do people get mad at the preacher, get mad at the church when he's preaching against sin? I tell you why. Because they don't realize it's not his testimony. It's God's. It's the testimony of our Lord. Preacher, you got no right to say we shouldn't drink and we shouldn't gamble and we shouldn't lie. We shouldn't shack up, and we shouldn't endorse same-sex marriage, and we shouldn't abort babies. You've got no right to say any of that. The position that I take on all of that lines up with this word. All of it. See, I believe that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. I asked Sister Hannah this morning in Sunday school, I said, how's the baby doing, honey? She said, good. That baby's right there, but that's a baby right there. The baby's doing good. Mama's doing good. We thank God for that. All I'm trying to say is the testimony of our Lord, Paul said to Timothy, don't be ashamed of it. It'll point us to the Savior. It'll point out sin. God just reminded me of a verse of Scripture. I don't know if I can get it exactly right. In one text, I think it was David, he said, search me, O God, and try me, and know my thoughts. And see, he said, if there be any wicked way in me. I'm telling you, beloved, God knows about the faults on the outside. He knows about the secret faults, the faults on the inside. And I say this, I say it reverently. I think I'm right. We all got them. I think we all got them, Michael. We all got things in our lives that we'd rather not be there. Sister Charity sent me a song this morning that she played for Olivia. And the song was about, that's my testimony. It was like yours, Brother Jason. Somebody was saved young. They were raised in the church, but they escaped all the hurt. An old preacher said years ago, I've never forgotten it, said, when a child is saved, not only is a soul saved, but a life is saved. How many in this building, you wish some of those scars weren't there? Is there anybody besides me that wish some of those scars? God's a forgiven God. And my knee got better, but it leaves a scar. Even after the antiseptic is poured in, it leaves a scar. I'm going to just shut down this morning. These six things doth the Lord God hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. The proud look. You know why some people won't get right with God? They're too proud. You know why some people won't get right with each other? They're too proud. And God said He hates a proud look, Brother Steve. We being the good Baptists we are, first thing we think about when you think about abomination is Romans chapter 1. But honey, there's more to abomination in the Bible than Romans chapter 1. He said, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Galatians 5, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, this is my favorite part. Such were some of you. I'm not changing the Bible, but listen to me just a moment. I'm not trying to change what Paul said, but really, he gave the list of sins and said, such were some of you. When you understood what Paul said, if a man offends in one point of the law, he's guilty of all, you could very well say, Brother Steve, such were all of you. Is that scriptural? If we're guilty in one point of the law, if we've offended in one point, we're guilty. I believe that's what Holy Ghost conviction is. God throws a book at us. We realize we're lost. He said, such were some of you. Here's the good part. But you're washed. I'm glad you washed this morning. What can wash away my sin? It's going to take something more than a smiley preacher. It's going to take the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of our Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. I'm just glad you come this morning. I'm not ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. I wouldn't give you a nickel. I wouldn't give you a nickel for a man that's ashamed of this book that would try to stand in a place like this. Or that would read a verse and say, I can't preach that. Somebody will stop putting their money in the plate. I can't preach that. Somebody will get mad at me. I'm going to tell you somebody that I'm more concerned about than any of you. It's him. Brother Steve, I'm going to give an account. I'm going to stand before him. Going to stand before him. Let me let you in on something. So are you. I think it was Amos that said, prepare to meet thy God. You're going to meet him. Your family's going to meet him. My family's going to meet him. There have been times I've stood in this pulpit and preached against sin, knowing that it was going on in my own family. You say, Pastor, how could you do that? Because that's what God put on my heart for that message. And I'll tell you something, beloved. He loves us enough to warn us, head us in the right direction. Amen.